Rising Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts, Sunday, August 13th, 2017.
Pastor George and his family are up in Maine this week, enjoying some, I'm sure, much needed time as a family, just praying that God's leading and blessing their time and just encouraging and strengthening them. It's interesting, I mean, just recently, my family, we've been kind of talking to some of our extended family a bit, and it's been a little bit difficult, just thinking and seeing how some have gone a little bit back into man-made rules, regulations, ideas of men to make their way into heaven. And so we're trying to talk to them a little bit, and it's just kind of sad to see, and yet I wonder often is, how do we avoid that? How do we make sure we're heading in the direction that God wants us to head, that we're listening to His voice, that we understand what His Word says, that we are saved by His grace and His grace alone, that all that He's accomplished on that cross is what is needed for our salvation to enter into heaven and to be in their eternity with Him, and as well to just have completely transformed lives here and now that are used to His glory. So with that, it just made me really kind of consider, obviously His Word has all the answers, and that's one of the things they're really missing, I think, is digging into His Word, just drawing near to Him, being filled with His Holy Spirit as well. You know, we can walk in a way that looks like we're actually living it, speak the words, and when we're not filled or we're not in His Word, it just is, there's no power in it. There's nothing there, and it's weak, and we start doubting it because it doesn't seem as though there's something real happening within us. Without Him, nothing much is happening within us. So the acting, the facade, the being nice, but unless it's all about Him, there's no power in the transformation and what's going to happen within us, going to use us, and what He wants to do with and through. So with that, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, just to really take a look at the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I know we've all understand that, and yet, do we truly understand the power of it and how important it is, and in the important fact of this is a big piece of the gospel. We understand that the gospel means that Jesus came to this earth and died for our sins, and yet so often we leave it there. The cross is everything. That's the centerpiece of our faith. What Jesus did on that cross means so much, but the gospel includes other pieces. And one of those pieces is the fact that He died and was buried, and on that third day He rose again to prove who He was, because He was the propitiation for our sin. He was the accepted gift that God received in payment for all of our sin. And so for us, it's simple. It's just receiving that gift and trust in Him. But to understand more and more of it as we grow and as He changes us and shapes us and wants to use us to His glory. And so I think a big part of that is spending time with Him and digging into His Word. And obviously, we need to be in prayer and we need to seek His face. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with regulations and rules and laws. Those are needed and important, but they don't transform our hearts and our lives. They just set up boundaries for us. When we're completely transformed by the Holy Spirit and He's living within us, it just changes everything about us, and the fact that we don't even want to go near the edge of those limits because they are so disgusting to us. They mean nothing to us, and it's not a place we want to be. We desire so much more to be in the center of His will and draw near to Him when that happens. And so we're going to look at 1 Corinthians, and I think 1 Corinthians so much is real apparent to the same situations that we live in today. The Corinthians were, I guess, not much different than the Western world is today. They lived very similarly. Their Epicurean philosophy was very much party and live for today because we might not have tomorrow. You know, the eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we all shall die. You know, and that's a sad way to live. And it's not true. That's the biggest part. It's just not true. The truth is, we will live forever. Where will we live forever and how will we live forever? And so much more. What are we doing today? What's happening with our lives? What are we doing with it, with what He's given us? He wants to do amazing things in and through us. And so often we're just not sure of what's going on, what direction to go, how to move forward. It's funny because even the way here today, this morning, I'm coming down South Street, or heading into South Street, I guess, and I get to the light at Electric Ave, and the main ones over your head are covered with black plastic. And I'm thinking, oh, what do I do? You know, where do I go? And then I look to the side, and I'm like, oh, the little light's on, and it's green, and I can continue to go. I was ready to stop. And I realized, wow, that's interesting. We're all looking for ways to go and directions. And there were laws. If it were red, I had to stop. The law said to stop. But yet, I needed to look to the direction. And the direction from God is in His Word. What's right? What's true? What's real? How do I measure things? What's good? What's true? What's a lie? How do I know? By His Word. I can think and feel whatever, but it means nothing if it's not true in His Word. And so when I got to that light, I was being directed, but I had to look for it. I had to see to the side a bit. Is it green or is it red? And for us, it's digging into His Word. And sometimes, you know, we may browse through it. We might be doing our devotions where we're just keeping up maybe with the church readings or what we feel we have to do. And so we're just breezing through some of His Word. Okay, I got that done. Now what's next? Where it's so much more, it's so much different. He wants us to dig in. And whether it's even one verse, three words, whatever, He wants to speak into our lives and into the moments of what's going on right now and how He wants to change and transform us and use us in the situations we're in. So there's reasons for all of it, and yet we've got to dig into it. We've got to be open to His moving and the way He wants to direct us. Sometimes we can miss it and head down the wrong path, or blow through that red light, or stop at a green and the guy behind us is honking. You know, I've done that before. Where I'm just not paying attention and I'm thinking about something else, and I stop at a green light and my wife will look over and elbow me. It's green, go. And then the guy behind me honks, oh, okay. So we do need to pay attention. There's a lot at stake here. Those details are here for a reason. And we don't want to overlook all of it, the details, the little pieces, those things that God works so intimately in. So often He's working in those little details when we just don't see it. We're looking for the big picture and, you know, why hasn't this changed? Well, maybe there's something that else in our own hearts and minds and lives that need to change the situation. We're so caught up with the situations, and those situations are usually there for a reason, to transform us, to renew us, to put our eyes back on Him. Our problem is we get so focused on that situation that we just miss what He's trying to show us. You know, I think just really totally grasping the entire gospel, including the grace of God and what He's done and how He wants to use us and how much He loves us, we can miss so much of that because we get so caught up in those situations, our past or who we are. And He just says, I love you. You're my child. Come and sit at my feet and listen. You know, so there are these little details, and Paul comes into Corinth and he has this message to share. He's willing to take on the challenge because the people aren't quite sure; they're not understanding the whole thing. They've taken a hold of the idea of the gospel, but they've missed pieces of it. And it's very important to have it all. You know, whatever we have, we want to share with those around us for sure. But let's take the next piece. I think of when John the Baptist, you know, had a message to share about repentance. But then he said that one is coming with fire and spirit to change everything. And it wasn't just the baptism of forgiveness or repentance, but a receiving of life and hope and an eternity and understanding that it's all finished in Christ. And yet, there's parts for us to do. We know Paul worked really hard. We're going to see that in a moment as well. He even claims this. And yet, we know that's true. It's interesting because if we don't have the full gospel, sometimes we can easily get led astray into a false gospel or things that just aren't the gospel, that aren't really that good news. You know, that word gospel, really, euangelion in the Greek, meaning gospel or evangel or evangelist, good news. Back in Paul's day, that could have just simply meant somebody's coming to town and they have some good news for you. You've been dealing with this issue. I have a new product to sell you, and now we're going to take care of it, and it's going to make your life much better. You know, we've heard that 1,000 times. We had the invention of the computer, which was going to make our life so much easier, and we're going to have short work weeks, and the computer's going to take care of all kinds of stuff, and we're just going to enjoy life now. Well, that didn't quite work that way. We all have computers, and we're working more hours than ever because we're connected to those computers and connected to the internet now, and everybody can talk to everybody, and you're working, get a hold of you anytime. The cell phone also was another great invention, right? We all needed one of those because we didn't want to be lost and stranded somewhere without being able to communicate with somebody, or maybe you're traveling somewhere, or maybe your kid's off borrowing your car and so you don't want them stuck somewhere and you want to get a hold of them, so you got a cell phone. And yet now that cell phone kind of owns us, where we can't go anywhere without us. That's the one thing we'll turn around and go back home for miles out of the way because we forgot our cell phone. Everything else, who cares? But that cell phone really owns our lives. Again, interesting, the other day I was looking on Facebook and saw a little posting there. Somebody had said, oh, I'm having everybody over. If you want to stop by to take a look at your phone, we're all going to sit around and stare at our phone for an hour. You're all welcome to come. I'm thinking, wow, that's so true. You know, that's exactly what we do. Let's go to dinner. You get a whole group of people sitting at dinner and everybody's just sitting at their phone texting. I don't know if they're talking to each other or talking to somebody else, but that's what they're doing. It's like, okay, look up. Somebody's in front of you. Oh, no, it doesn't matter. I'm texting. You know, it's like, what happened? We're just so caught up with these things, these inventions and things that are going to bring us good news and help. And yet there is one good news that totally transforms our lives, and the good news of Jesus Christ and what he's done, the gospel. And that's what we're going to talk about today a little bit more in some of the details. It's funny because I was going through this and I start thinking about it and how we can miss things and those little details and not understanding sometimes really what is at stake. And it just made me think so much about the wedding feast. You know, when everybody's coming to this great celebration because this marriage of the Lamb to his church, you know, the bridegroom and his church coming together. And yet, during that time, a lot of people RSVP with, oh, I'm sorry, I'm too busy, I got land, or I got a new calf or cow or an ox to deal with, or some, you know, there's something I just got to do. I got married and I've got to go off and, you know, I've got a year before I can see and talk to anybody, or, you know, I've got all these other things to do, and they get busy and they miss this incredible main event that was something that they would never want to miss because it's talking about an eternity. And I can equate this a little bit, just a little bit, to, you know, we just had a wedding in our family, and, you know, we went through that, sent out the invitations, we got RSVPs, and a lot of people said they'd be coming, but some couldn't, and busyness and stuff going on, and then you get the responses of people saying, oh yeah, I'll be there, and then, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ahead, it's like, oh, sorry, I can't, something else has come up, and then 2 weeks before, you know, oh, 5 more people, and then the week before, 10 more people, oh, I can't make it, whatever. So we did basically the same idea that this, the guy that was in charge of this wedding feast did, is we invited others, you know. Sorry, last minute, but would you like to come? And others came, and I believe they were blessed. But in that event, people came and had an incredible encounter with Jesus Christ, and lives were transformed for an eternity, and they came into his kingdom to be part of who he is as he worked. And it's so important to understand what's important. How are we spending our time? What are we doing with what he's given us? Are we using it wisely? Are we using it to his glory? Is it making a difference in our life, or is it just boring us? Oh, well, I'm spending my time doing this, and it's really, there's not a lot of meaning to it. There's meaning in everything we do. He's got us in every single place. Whether you feel like your work is just this slow, humdrum type thing, God has you there for a purpose. Open your eyes to look up and see, what is the purpose? Why does he have me here? What does he want to do with me in this moment? Who is it that he wants me to speak to? Or how does he want me to change things? How does he want me to make a difference where I'm at with my family, my job, my neighbors, whatever situation I'm in, wherever he's placed me, even right here in this room, our brothers and sisters right next to us. He wants us to use each one of you with your neighbor sitting right next to you to encourage, to edify, to build them up, to help them understand that Jesus Christ has a purpose in their life and that he wants to use them to his glory. He wants to speak through you for that purpose. He wants us to understand how vital it is to have this incredible relationship with him. And sometimes we can overlook that. We can get so busy with other stuff and miss that opportunity. But he does work in these details. I think of, you know, the resurrection is just, you know, that was the resurrection. Yeah, of course, he came back to life. Not a big deal. Why do we need to look at that? And yet, Paul made sure that the Corinthians believers absolutely knew the details of this, because this is a vital piece of information that you need to know, because it's life-changing. So let's come before him in prayer as we open up. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for the life and hope you've given us through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, fill us now with your presence. Let your Holy Spirit reign in this place. Remove anything that's distracting. Again, our cell phones, our thoughts, our days, just all the stuff, Lord. Take it away that we come before your throne and sit at your feet and listen to your voice. Father, we love you and we thank you for all you do. Lord, help us to glorify you and hear your voice that we be transformed when we leave this place today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 15, first couple of verses. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast to that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Again, the gospel benefits us greatly if we receive it. We have to receive it. The Corinthian believers received it, and they even stood in it. If we stand in it and receive it, walk in it, trust in it, believe in it, we're going to walk in it in a way that just totally changes who we are. Our lives are just going to be completely transformed if we receive it. It's amazing. There's this great, incredible gift that just has to be received and used, that needs to be trusted in. How many things have you bought and received and used for once, maybe, and then put it in the closet and never used again? Have you done that with Jesus Christ? Received him and then just kind of hung him in the closet as a nice thing to have, a trophy on the shelf, or, you know, that expensive clothing that you only take out during certain celebrations? Or is he somebody you put on daily and walk in and trust in, that you know is with you in every moment and every word and every thought? That he desires to shine through you at every moment. A lot of it takes us surrendering to him in that. You know, this is the best news ever, and it just needs to be received. And there are people out there that just need to hear it. So often we talk ourselves out of that. I know I do often. I literally talk myself out, or I go through the conversation. This is what I'm going to say to them. This is what they're going to say back. Oh, forget it. And I walk away because they're going to say, oh, that's not for me. You have your ideas and I have mine. And yet, it's not what I say. It's what God does with it. Do we trust our own power and our words, or do we trust in him and what he wants to do? And he will even give us the words to speak if we simply open our mouths. And so often, we don't open our mouths because we go through that conversation, or we doubt, or we fear, or there's something that gets in the way. Just trusting him. Whatever he wants to do, the mistakes make him. So what? He knows. He's already gone through it. He's seen it all. He's outside of time, so he's already seen you make all those mistakes. It's okay. He knows. We are not perfect. He understands that very well. Otherwise, he wouldn't have to come and die for us. So just speak the words. Let it come from your heart and truly love one another. And we've got his word. You'd be surprised how much you know of his word. So many of us hold back because, oh, I don't know enough. I don't know enough. And yet we know so much. There's so much that has been planted in our hearts and in our minds of his truth. There are so many that don't know, that haven't heard. Even the simple words of there is a God in heaven that loves you immensely, that came down to this earth to die for you. There are so many out there who'd be like, what are you talking about? I never even heard about this. What are you talking about? How come there aren't more? A lot of people call themselves Christians and yet don't even understand what that means to be a Christ follower, to belong to him, to be a slave of his, to be a brother or sister of his, to be his child. It's amazing what he wants to do. So the Corinthians first received the gospel. This message first had to be believed and embraced, and it was. They believed it. And there was this thriving church now in Corinth in the midst of all this mess of this partying scene and all this other stuff going on around them. And yet they believed it. The problem is, the stuff starts creeping in, right, into the church that's going on all around us. And we're the same way. We let stuff kind of creep into our lives and into our what we believe because we start turning on the news or listening to others around us instead of listening to the one true voice that's speaking into our hearts and minds with wisdom and truth and hope. Instead, we start believing the lies of the enemy. You're not good enough. You're not going to make it. You know, it's not worth it. It doesn't matter. It all matters. Every detail of your life matters. He wants to use it for a purpose. You're not here by mistake. Paul wrote to the Thessalonican church, "For this reason we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you welcomed it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe." So the word of God does have an effect in our lives. It changes us. It grows us. It shapes us. And it's a living word. It just continues to do that. It doesn't change, but we do, as he grows us and as we learn more of him. So the Corinthians, the believers in Corinth, at least, also did stand in the gospel. They stood in it. They knew it was right and true. Despite all their problems, their carnality, much like us, their lacking of understanding, their strife, the divisions, the immorality, the kind of strange spirituality, but they still stood in the gospel. And it wasn't true for everyone, because if we go for to Galatians chapter 1, we read what Paul wrote to them. He says, "I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another." You know, we need to be aware of that ourselves. There's just a lot of stuff around us that can just change our hearts, our minds, our thinking. And it's all lies from the enemy to think that, you know, this isn't true, or you can't do anything with it, and what you've done is a waste of time. It's just the lies of the enemy, and it starts transforming and changing us, and we start walking away from the truth of what he tells us, and we start doubting, and we start fearing. And yet that's not what he wants for us. I don't know. Sometimes I think maybe it's just because maybe we're from New England and a lot of us maybe grew up Catholic, that we start going back to the religious system instead and the following of rules and laws. Maybe it's just because of we're human and that's the flesh. And, you know, if I can do it in my own strength, then I feel much better and more confident in it. But everything we do in our flesh is just going to burn up. It's going to go away. Why would we be confident in our flesh? We need to be confident in his spirit and what he's doing, trusting in him and knowing it's going to stand forever what he does. So it's just amazing, I guess, that I just think of going back to Paul, what we recently read actually in Acts, when he's with the jailer, and the jailer just asked him, "What must I do to be saved?" And what did Paul answer? He didn't say, "Oh, you know, say 17 prayers or go off and, you know, do this work, clean your house, you know, turn away from that thing and get rid of no more drinking, no more swearing, no more saying these things." What did he say? Instead, he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved." That was it. It was that simple. Believe on Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior and you will be saved. From that moment, yeah, all the other stuff starts changing, because it's no longer who we are. It's not what we want to do. It's not what we want to be part of. No longer, you know, the crazy life, the partying, the stupid stuff, the making fun of people or thinking we're better than them, or no longer the crazy television shows or hanging out with the people that we shouldn't be, doing the stuff we shouldn't be. Maybe we do hang out with the people we shouldn't be so that we can share the gospel instead, make a difference in their lives instead of letting them change us. Now we're sharing the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ and watching them change instead of us falling into that garbage again. So it's amazing how it has such an amazing effect on us when we just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we start digging into his word, and he starts speaking to us, and he starts saying, "Oh, well, let's change these little things. Let's try this." It's like, "I don't know if I want to do that." And then we do it, and it's like, "Wow, this is so much more fun. This is so much more enjoyable. I just love this. I feel so much better about this. It's so good." It's amazing how we start changing when we realize he's got something so much better for us. That the lies of the world are just that, lies. It's not anything that's fulfilling at all. And yet he tells them from that point, yeah, there's some repentance needed, obviously, but it's just receiving. But he tells them at this point, it's holding fast to that gospel. Holding fast. What does that actually tell you? That it's something or someone out there that wants to snatch this away, that wants to take it from you. You need to hold on to it because it is true, it is right. You want to trust in it. But you need to do something about it. You need to hold on to this. You need to continue in it. It's not just something you receive once and say, "Okay, I'm all done. I'm all set." It's something you grow in and transforms us. Holding fast. And we need to hold on to it as well. Trusting that the blood of Jesus Christ has washed us completely clean, that he has paid our debt in full. No more of the enemy's lies coming into our hearts and ears and minds, you know, that we're not good enough, we're not worth it, we can't do it. We all know we can't do it. He's gone, wants to do it through us and in us. He abides within us. Once we've received that incredible gift, he wants to use us. And yeah, it doesn't matter who we are. Each and every one of us have an amazing gift that he's given us. The Holy Spirit, God, lives within you. And he's given you an amazing gift to use to bring him glory. And so you get to a situation where, hey, God, this is totally impossible. He's like, yep, it is. That's why I'm going to do it. Now just go and do it. It's amazing. And so often we fear because we look to ourselves instead of looking to him. It's amazing what he wants to do. He wants to do these incredible things through each and every one of us. And we miss so many details. Like the Corinthians were missing the idea of resurrection. They knew about something about a resurrection, that there was this promise or this thing that they had heard about, that this man, Jesus Christ, who died on that cross had risen again. And yet they thought only, well, that's for him. Little did they know it was for them as well. And it's for every one of us, this resurrection. We will be resurrected and have an eternal life. And it's a continuation of this life in a different form, in a glorified body, one that's designed to live forever. No more aches and pains and sorrows and no more trouble to go through. That's just amazing that that's for us. And it was for the Corinthian believers. It's for all who believe and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's accomplished. Verse 3, to move on quickly, right? For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Again, twice he uses the word Scriptures there because that's the foundation, going back to God's Word, understanding that it's true and it's what we stand on, not how I feel and not what the situation is. Those things are always going to change. Our feelings are important to us, absolutely, and they do mean something, but they change. We can't trust them, but his Word we can. It does not change. It's something we can always stand on. We need to come back to the Scripture to know for sure, is this where God's leading us? It sure seems like it. It feels good. Well, but it says not to do that. Well, you know, it still feels right. God's got to be in it. You know, this is okay. God is love and this feels like love, so I can do it. No. God is absolute love, and that's why he says these things are not for us sometimes, because he has gotten so much better. We cheat ourselves so often and give ourselves so much less than what he wants for us when we just go with what the world says or our own ideas or feelings. He's got something so much more. So it's receiving and moving forward in Christ. Not, again, Paul says that he received it. He received it from Christ. It wasn't, you know, a man-made thing, something he just kind of made up on his own. Again, according to Galatians chapter 1, he says, "But I made known to you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached by me is not according to man, for neither received it from man, nor was I taught it, but it came through the revelation of Jesus Christ." Amazing. So God delivered it to him, this amazing message, the gospel. And he came before him and spoke to him. And maybe that's happened to you. Have you had that personal encounter like Paul had on the road to Damascus? It might not be this, you know, that you fell to the ground because he appeared before you, but maybe it was a hearing of his voice that he spoke to you in some way. Maybe it was he pointed something out in his word and he spoke to you. Maybe it was he spoke to you through someone else as he speaks his truth into your life. You know, there's a lot of different ways he speaks to us. Sometimes audibly, which I think is very rare. I don't think I've ever actually heard his voice audibly. But I know I've heard him speak to me through his word. I know he's spoken to me through others, certainly through my wife, through my pastor, through some of you right in this room. And I believe he does that. He desires to do that a lot. It's just so often we miss it because we're thinking it's our own thoughts. Come back. Does it match his word? Paul took what Jesus gave him and delivered it. He's just the messenger. He's just delivering it. So it's not like he's doing any of it or making up the ideas. He's just giving God's word. And that's what we need to continue doing ourselves as well, according to the Scripture. verse 5. And that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present, but some have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles. Then, last of all, he was seen by me also, as by one born out of due time. Interesting there, you know, born out of due time. Paul, again, thinking he's maybe not in the right time, and yet he was in the perfect time. And that's some. So, I mean, if you feel like you're maybe not in the right time, you wish you lived 100 years ago, and a lot of us do, thinking life would be a lot simpler if I lived back then. But God has you here now for his perfect timing. He doesn't make mistakes. We know we all do, but he does not. And he's got us here for a purpose and a reason right in this time. He definitely wants to use us where we're at. You know, it's interesting that he talks about Cephas first, Peter, the Aramaic name for Peter, how he first, and yet Peter, he said at one point, get behind me, Satan. You know, so have you ever had that, you know, where you felt like you disappointed God or done something wrong against him? Come on, Peter, we're in great company. You know, we've all done it. And yet he wants us to move on from that point and restore us. Again, we listen to the lies of the enemy if we don't move forward and understand that he has a great work for each and every one of us. You know, I go back to, again, just understanding what this crucifixion was all about and what happened to Jesus on that cross. Well, there was, again, more than the cross, because through that, there was just so many pieces of it. There was, you know, the torment that all happened before it, the interrogation and the beatings in between. You know, that was an incredible night that he went from one place to another, and what he had to accomplish, it was just a lot to deal with physically, mentally, spiritually. There was so much happening all at once, and it was a long period of time for him through that night, you know, right from the time they let when he was pulled away from the Garden of Gethsemane that night, to the interrogation and beating and chaining and taking away as a criminal, right to the point of after all that, and he was scourged and torn apart, and then even going through an illegal trial and just all these things that were so stacked against him, and yet stacked for us for a purpose. God had a plan in it all. God didn't leave him in that moment of all these trials. There was just one quick moment that he had to just deal with all this, right? All the sin that anyone had committed, all of us, was put on him at that moment. He became sin. He was not a sinner. He never sinned, but he took it on himself for us, all of it. So we don't have to deal with it anymore. It's not ours. It's his, and he's done it. He is the propitiation. He's completely paid that price. It is clear. It is clean. It is done. It's finished, as he said. But he went to that cross for us and went through all of it. You know, the shock, the blood loss, the beatings, the torment, the dehydration, the gasping for breath. It's just amazing all that he went through. But he did it for us because he loves us so much. Jesus died for our sins, for mine and for yours, that we would be set free from them. Not to hold it over us, not to say, see, now you owe me, not to give us a debt, but to free us from that debt completely, that we could walk in it. It's interesting because I was listening to a video Friday night with the young adults, and a guy that was here actually, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, Ebo Elder, if you've heard of him, he used to be a boxer, and he came and shared his testimony and did an incredible job. And he was just talking about some of the trials and situations that he had gone through. And one of the biggest things that really kind of spoke to me through it was he used an example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, and how they were put into that furnace trusting in God to free them, but if not, that's okay. Whatever God desires to do, if we live or if we die. But they were bound up and put into this fiery furnace that was just crazy amount of heat, and the guys that even put them in burned up right away just by opening the door, the heat that came out and it destroyed them. But they were put into the fire, and then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, looks in and sees them walking around, and he says, wait a minute, they're alive and moving around in there. They're not burnt up. And even there's a fourth one in there. I thought we only put three in there. It's like, don't you remember? And yet the fourth one was like the Son of God. And he was the Son of God, actually, in there protecting them in those fires, in that furnace, in that time of incredible trial and heat and torment. But he was there protecting them, so much so that when they came out, they didn't even smell like fire. Nothing. Nothing was singed, nothing was burnt, nothing smelled. It was only one thing that really changed, and that was those ropes that bound them were burned up. In those trials, in that furnace, the one thing that was burned up was the thing that bound them. They were set free completely by Jesus Christ. It was interesting because even when the king called them out, the three came out. Jesus stayed in the fire. And Ivo just said something that really kind of stuck out to me a bit, and was that Jesus lives in that fire, in those trials, in those temptations, in those difficulties. That's where you'll find him always. He will always show up. The question he had to share was, will you show up? So often we're afraid to get into those trials. We think they're against us and nothing good will come out of them. And yet it's just the opposite. Every one of them are there for good. God uses all of it for good in our lives, for a purpose. That he wants to burn up the fear, the doubts, the things that bind us and hold us back from what he wants to do with and through us. He wants to take that all away. So he's in that with us always. But so often we're so afraid to step into it. How many of us would actually step in and say, okay, if I have to die, I'll go into that furnace instead of bowing down to that statue? How often instead do we bow down to the statue and allow a little bit more of the world, a little bit more of the garbage into our lives? Instead, he says, no, I'll be with you. I'll free you from it. Let me free you from this bondage. Step into the fire. I will be with you. I will be your strength, your hope, your joy. I will provide it for you. Just come. I'll be there. I'll walk you through it, whatever that trial is. How big is our God? We claim he's the creator of all things, and he holds it all in his hand, every bit of it. And yet so often, we make him this tiny little God who can't. But he can, and he desires to. And he wants to use all trials and all things in our lives to good. But so often, we don't even want to step in. But he desires to change us. And pain comes with change. You know, change is not easy. And yet, do we want to be who we were 5, 10 years ago? Look back. Think about it. Do you want to be that same person you were 10 years ago? Trying to cheat your way into something, lie about something, cover up something? Or do you want to be who you've been changed into today? And then even more so, forward, more and more like Christ every moment. More honest, more real, more transparent, more his, more shining his light, more being the salt, making a difference everywhere we go. We have that opportunity. We just need to step into the fire. Not an easy deal, but so worth it. So worth it. We all often step back and think, oh, I wish I could be like. There's always somebody else we want to compare ourselves to. And yet, Jesus has done it all. Don't we want to be like him who gave everything, laid his life down? And so often, oh, well, that's the part I don't want to do. And yet he fulfills every part of Scripture. He does it all, and he is incredibly long-suffering and waiting for us. You know, how many times have we messed up and stepped outside of his will, and yet he just says, come back. He's open arms waiting for us. I mean, we're just saying the song, right? We know the truth. We know the words. But do we believe it in our hearts? Do we live that way? That we're ready to step wherever he calls us to? And when we do mess up and make those mistakes and see that we've sinned against him, are we ready to repent and just come running back into his arms and say, okay, Dad, what's next? What do you want to do? I'm willing. I'm here. Use me. And yet, we don't, because we fear, because we're trying to do it in our strength. He desires to do so much more with and through us. It's amazing. So he came back and he showed himself to many, to Peter, to the apostles. It even says the 12, you know, at that moment there wasn't the 12. There was Judas was dead, and even Thomas wasn't there the first time he showed himself to them. But he appeared to many. He appeared to even 500 at once. He went off to Galilee. And it's interesting. A lot of people will say, well, wait a minute. How were there that many over in the upper room even all waiting for all of them? There were only like 120. So where did they get 500? I 100% believe there were 500 there, because if you heard this Jesus Christ is coming back. He's alive today, even though you just saw him crucified a couple days ago. He is alive now, and he's going to meet you in Galilee. Wouldn't you go to Galilee and say, where is he? Where is he? You know, would you just sit home? I'm not so sure if I want to go. Doesn't sound like something I want to be part of. I think not. I think we're going to go. We want to be part of what he's doing. An amazing miracle. And yet he does amazing miracles every day. If we just open our eyes to see it. Watch for his direction and allow him to use us in whatever situation it might be. With whomever is sitting next to us. You know, he told the woman, he told his brothers right before it even, go meet me in Galilee and you'll see me. I'll come back. And then when he rose, he told the women to go tell my brothers to meet me in Galilee. I would assume they would go. I would go. I would want to see. Is this real? Is this completely changed? Is this Jesus is alive again? He was who he claimed to be. It's right. Wouldn't that just solidify your faith so much? Do we believe it? That he rose again? As he claimed? As we were told in the scriptures? As it was prophesied that he would come back? It's amazing because he showed himself to his brother James, who, again, even before the death of Christ, didn't even believe that he was the Messiah who he claimed to be. And yet things obviously changed because when Jesus told them to go and wait in the upper room for the Holy Spirit to come upon them, he was one of the ones there. Mary and his brothers were there waiting to receive the Holy Spirit. And then James even wrote the book of James. I mean, come on, how much more zealous can you be? Pretty clear. He absolutely believed. I guess seeing the resurrected Jesus Christ had a real effect. Have you seen the resurrected Jesus Christ? Do you know he's alive and real and living today? He is. He is alive. And he desires to live in and through each and every one of us. It's interesting, you might wonder why Paul didn't mention actually the appearance to the women, because they were the first ones that saw him. I think that's an amazing testimony of how much he loved people, because, you know, at that day, it wouldn't have stood up in court that Jesus was alive because woman's testimony wouldn't have been received. And how much does Jesus changed, huh? He's changed the world forever. Boy, that's amazing, because we would absolutely believe a woman's testimony as much as we believe a man's testimony today because of what he's done. He first appeared to them for a purpose, and yet who would have done that? It's like, well, that doesn't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. God does things a little bit different than most of us expect, that's for sure. In those trials and in those difficult times, he's there, and he's there for a purpose to do things maybe a little different than we might think. And Paul, of course, always counting himself the least, saying, you know, last of all, it was seen by me as one born out of time. It's interesting. He always took that lower seat. He always had a great respect for the other apostles. I think, obviously, as he mentions, why? Mostly because he persecuted the church. And yet, look, he persecuted the church. We think what we've done is wrong and too much. God can't forgive this. He was dragging people off to be killed, putting them in jail because they believed in Jesus Christ. That was it. And yet, look what he did with Paul. 2/3 of the New Testament written by him. A man that was transformed by the Holy Spirit because he said yes, he received, and he believed, and he trusted, and walked forward with what God gave him. Are we moving forward with what God's giving us? Verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, whom am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God, but by the grace of God I am that I am, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and so you believed. So it's amazing. Yeah, Paul counted himself as nothing, as the least of the apostles. And yet he tells us clearly that he is who he is because of the grace of God. And again, that just kind of reminds you a little bit of God telling Moses when Moses didn't trust, who do I say that you are? He says, I am that I am. Close. But then later in Exodus chapter 34, God explains in a little bit more detail who he really is. In chapter 34, verse 6, of Exodus, he says, and the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sins, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. He identifies himself as being merciful, gracious, and long-suffering. That's who he is. It's amazing how much he loves us and how often he waits for us. He waits for us again and again, and we continue to go outside of his will, and yet he's amazingly gracious. One day that will stop. He will come back and judge. But this is a day of grace. And we have the time and the ability to come before him and repent and just allow him to change us and shape us and use us. It would be foolish not to. What else is there? You know, how do we want to live the rest of our life and what we have left? It's amazing what he wants to do with us. There was, I think it was David Guzik I actually got this from. This statement, I think, is pretty profound. We should really consider it a bit. He says, "You can't receive the grace of God without being changed by it. You can't receive the grace of God without being changed by it." Paul talks about it was the grace of God that he is who he is. It's only by the grace of God. And that should be true with every one of us as well, realizing we're walking in the grace of God, that he's forgiven it all, he's paid it all, he loves us immensely, he wants to use us for his glory, that he's given us these gifts for a purpose. And every one of us have something different. And no, we can't do work in every single situation there is, but he's given us the gifts to step up and to be used by him for his glory, for a purpose, that it not be in vain, not to be idle and not to just pray. There's incredible power in prayer. The problem is we use it as an excuse so often. You know, people ask, oh, do you want to be part of this ministry? Or, you know, I've seen this and I believe you're gifted in this area and God wants to use you here, I believe. Would you like to be part of this? And so many times we'll be like, well, let me pray about it. 3 months later, you come back. How are you doing? What do you think? Are you going to be praying? Well, I need some more time. Let me pray about it. 3 weeks later, we come back and they ask again, oh, well, let me pray. Just say no. You know, just tell them no. I don't want to be part of this right now. Maybe later, if God really pounds my door down, then I'll walk through the door, right? Until then, not now. Be honest at least. But he doesn't want us to be idle. He doesn't want us to waste what he's given us because he has so much to do with every one of us. It's amazing. He wants to accomplish incredible things with us. And yet, there's so many things that don't happen because we don't step in. God's will be done. There's no doubt about that. He will do something and he will do what he wants to do. He'll use whomever. But we miss the joy, the glory, the hope, the strength, the incredible encouragement of just being part of what he's doing. How many times have you actually said yes, stepped into that, and then like, wow, how did that happen? I couldn't do that. And you were just so filled. From teaching little kids to ushering at the door or whatever it might be. Stepping out and sharing the gospel with somebody. Planting a seed. And just thinking, wow, that felt really good. Because God was in you doing it, speaking through you. The Holy Spirit living in you was free to do as he desired to do instead of us stifling him. It's amazing, but we can do that. We can actually stifle the Holy Spirit within us. God, the creator of all things, because he is so long-suffering and just waiting. And when you start getting the conviction because you didn't do it, that's a good thing. Come back and say, Lord, okay, next time, let's do it. Let's just do it. And he then brings that opportunity right in front of you. 3 seconds later, it's like, oh, I didn't mean now already. He's like, yep, let's do it. And you do it. It's like, oh, thank you, Lord. This is so good. It feels great. It's amazing when we just say yes. What a difference. You know, he sets us apart for a purpose, and he wants to use us to his glory. You know, many Christians, I think, just struggle with this whole concept. Does God do it, or do I do it? The answer is yes. It's that simple. You know, we go through certain things, you know, this is right and this is right, but they're different. How can they both be right? Well, they can be right. In some situations, both can be right. Yes, I do something by stepping out and allowing God's Holy Spirit to work in me, allowing him to do the work he wants to do in and through me, whatever that may be. I may not be qualified, and that's the best place to begin. I'm obviously an example of that. I'm standing right here in front of you for that purpose. I am absolutely not qualified to be standing here. And yet God says, Bob, go up there. I want you to do this. And so I timidly say, okay, yes. But then I need to just surrender and let him do it. And that's true with every one of us. I see the worship team up here leading us in worship before his throne. What an amazing thing. And sorry to say it, but they're not qualified either. They might be great musicians and have great voices, but they're not qualified to bring people into his throne. And yet he qualifies them because he fills them to do it. And he's filling you for a purpose to do whatever he's called you to. He's got a great work for you to do. The resurrection of Jesus Christ means everything. We have incredible hope. His payment was accepted by God completely. It was proven by the resurrection. He is alive and living in us today. He sits at the throne of God today because he was faithful to obey his Father. He's equal with his Father completely, but he put himself under to submit to his dad because he wanted to bring glory to his Father. And what an incredible Savior we have that would be willing to go through what he went through for each and every one of us. And not only that, he gives us an eternity. He wipes us clean from all of our sin, gives us amazing hope before us, gives us an incredible life right now, although it might not be that you have riches and beautiful homes and great vacations. So what? That stuff is going to go away and burn up anyways. We're going to regret a lot of that kind of stuff because it was meaningless and empty. And yet those little moments, just taking a moment to talk to a child, to encourage a brother or sister, to bless your wife or child or son or daughter, you know, to just encourage somebody to stop and pray with them, to talk to them, to help them understand what Jesus Christ has done and how much he loves them, how much he desires to draw them near, to lay our lives down for others, for whomever it is. That person that irritates you the most is probably the one that God wants to work through you in their lives. That one, he just wants to show you how much he loves his creation. And I tell you, when you do it, it'll make such a difference. It'll be amazing as he uses you in somebody else's life that you just thought, no way, that is not for me. This person irritates me. I can't do it. And when you lay your life down and say, okay, I will do it because I want to obey you and I will allow you to do it through me, Lord. What a change. What a difference. What joy comes into that. It's amazing what he will do. And all the other stuff means nothing. And it just goes away. No more bitterness, no more anger towards that person as you're praying for them, as you're asking God to find favor with them. Maybe you have a family member, a child, a spouse, an ex-spouse that is causing problems in your life, and you're just not sure how to deal with it. Pray for them. Pray for God's grace, for God's hope, for God to reveal himself to them, that he would show them who he is and how much he loves them. And boy, will it transform your heart towards that person, and you might see God work amazingly in that situation. He's an incredible God. He's done it all. Not only died, but rose again for us to show us how much he loves us and what hope we have in and through him. The worship team wants to come forward. I'm going to skip, again, these next three pages of notes and stuff I have. but I believe there's a purpose in it all, and God really is doing an amazing work. One day, he will resolve all this. The evil, all the other stuff will be gone. For a moment, he's allowed different amounts of authority and power in different areas, in men, in Satan, even in death. But one day all that will be wiped away, and it's coming soon. It might be very soon. Are we ready for that? But one day he will set it all straight, and he will rule all things with no adversary at all, no enemies left standing. And it'll be him alone, and us there worshiping and praising him and serving him. Why not make it now? So that way you enter into that eternity, it'll just be another step in to like, wow, it's a little different, but here we are, Lord. Let's do it, you know? So for anyone that hasn't, you know, this is an amazing opportunity. Pastor George does this every week. He offers an opportunity for us to just surrender our lives into his hands. You know, sometimes I think, you have to do that every week, and then I realize, yes, you have to do that every week. Why? And we should be doing it every moment, offering anyone and everyone around us the opportunity to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. Because we don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. We certainly don't know what's going to happen a week or a month from now. And this is everything. this is it. This is what transforms lives. And that person that maybe we don't get along with so well, they could be our best friend soon. We could be praising God in heaven next to each other and just smiling and thinking, this is awesome. With that person that just rubbed you the wrong way. So I just want to say a short prayer, and why don't we stand all together and in unity. We'll just lift a prayer, and for anyone that hasn't surrendered their lives, or maybe this is something you need to surrender specifically right now into his hands. So let's just come before his throne. Father God, we thank you. Thank you for giving us life and hope through your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I believe that you sent your Son to this earth to be the perfect propitiation, the price for my sin, that he became a man, went to that cross for me, to die for me, that I would have life. Lord, that on that third day he rose again in fulfillment of the scriptures, as he promised. He came back to life to show that he defeated death and that it has no hold over him, that he has complete victory over it. Lord, I give you my life. I ask that you help me to follow you all the days of my life, Lord, that you would remove the enemy's lies, that I would flee from him, and I come running to you always, that I would look to your word for guidance, that I would hear your Holy Spirit speaking into my life, that I would obey you with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, that I would love and surrender everything into your hands. Lord, we lift those around us to you, and we just ask to have a heart to follow you and to love and praise you for who you are. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. And there's a prayer room over here for anyone that needs prayer afterwards or desires to just lift anything to him. Thank you.
Horizon Christian Fellowship in Fitchburg, Massachusetts can be contacted online at horizonfitchburg.org or by calling 978-665-9111. Our service times are 8:45 a.m. and 11 a.m. on Sundays and 6:30 p.m. on Wednesdays.